Grace and peace in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the one that we lead on to be with forever in heaven. Amen. Our text is the gospel lesson from Mark chapter 9, these startling words of Jesus, difficult words, if not downright scary, horrifying words. Let's pray as we consider the word of God. Lord, your word is sharper than a double-edged sword. We ever pray that that word would penetrate our hearts, our minds, to give us faith, repentance, understanding, to draw us closer to you, our Savior, the one who indeed can save us from sin, and you alone. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, after reading the gospel today, I think it's time to open our mouths really wide. Open your mouth really, really wide, not to yawn. But God wants to pour something into us that we desperately need to be saved. God wants to pour something into each one of us that we desperately need to be saved from sin. And what is that? It's not coffee. It's not a cappuccino. It's not even an Egg McMuffin. It's not sour grapes after last night's game. What's God want to pour into us? Salt. How would you like a nice big mouthful, stomach full of salt today? Jesus says at the end of the text, interesting, what does it mean? Salt is good. But if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? And he says, this is the key, have salt in yourselves. What do you need, people? Sinners, have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other. Like I said, open your mouth and get a nice big load of salt. What's all this mean and how does it apply to this difficult gospel lesson? Well, I suggest today the salt that we all need is Jesus himself. Jesus is the pure, holy salt that we need desperately. He alone can deliver us from sin, death, and hell. The Greeks often considered salt divine. They said salt, now I'm talking about literal salt, was divine. It came from the gods made of the sun and the sea. Jesus literally is God from heaven. And he's the salt. As often is the case when you read difficult passages, Jesus is talking about himself in some way. He's the one human being that we want to talk about himself because he's God and our Savior. He is the light of the world. He's the bread of life. He's the way, the truth, the life. He's the resurrection of life. He's the good shepherd. He's the vine where the branches in. We could say today he is the salt. And it fits very, very well in this gospel. Because as I mentioned, this gospel's scary. It's very graphic. If you lead a little one into sin, it's better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and you're thrown into the sea. That's scary. Because we've all led children or those little in faith into sin in some way, at least by our bad example. Millstone, see? And then it gets even more graphic and scary. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Better that than be thrown into hell with two hands. And if your foot causes you to sin, the same thing. If your eye causes you to sin, cut it out. And he calls hell this fire, consuming fire. It's all quite horrifying. And after reading this, we are led to hit our knees and say, how can I possibly be saved? Am I just going to cut my body and mutilate myself to cut out sin? Is that what I'm supposed to do? How can I be saved from sin and hell? How, Lord? How's it possible? It sounds impossible, and it is for us. And so Jesus gives the solution at the end. Have salt in yourselves. Salt is good. You're not good, you're evil, but salt is good. And have salt in yourselves, and he's the salt. And with him we are saved. And because he is cut up on the cross himself, his hands and feet cut, his head cut, his side cut, and he bleeds forth, we have deliverance. You don't cut out sin, you cross out sin, if you will. Jesus, the salt, is our topic. Let me just say two simple things about how Jesus is like salt today. That's what we're supposed to ponder in this text. Two characteristics of salt. First of all, as we all know, I'm talking about literal salt. Now, salt has great influence. Salt has great impact. And so, two ways that salt has great influence. One way, it's a preservative. And Christ is alluding to this here. to preserve us from having our bodies cut up and thrown into hell. But back in that day, they, of course, did not have freezers and refrigerators to preserve food, so they put salt on it. We do the same thing today, and in other parts of the world today, we salt food to preserve it. It preserves something from decay and rot. In the Old Testament, whenever they would make a covenant, if two people made a covenant, to seal that covenant, each person would eat a little bit of salt. Now, why would they do that? They would each eat salt to say, may we preserve this covenant. May we not break the covenant and break the treaty. May you keep the covenant. May I keep the covenant. May it not rot in our midst. May we preserve it and keep it. And so that's also here that God's made a covenant with us in Christ. And God has a one-sided covenant. The covenant is 100% him and zero us. His covenant is, I will forgive you. I will remember your sins no more. I'll be gracious to you, slow to anger, and I'll give you eternal life and the resurrection of your body. And Jesus is the salt that preserves that covenant. So we never have to worry if God's going to change his mind. Is God tomorrow going to say, I really don't like you, you're going to go to hell. You've sinned way too much, so you're out. I'm done with you. Is God going to do that tomorrow or maybe a year from now or maybe 10 years from now? Is God, when I'm dying, is God going to say, I don't think I really want to take you to heaven. You're going to die and go to hell. If we had a God that unpredictable, it would be scary and horrifying. Christ is the salt. As salt, he preserves the covenant. God will always be forgiving. He'll always be gracious. He will take us to heaven. He'll never break his treaty with us. And Christ is the assurance of that. If God the Father ever gets hotly mad at us, like he was with the people of Israel, his anger was hot, he looks at the cross, and the Father says, I must keep the covenant and forgive, tomorrow 70 times, 7 times. Christ is the salt that preserves the covenant. In us, he preserves our faith. He's doing that today with the word and sacrament. He keeps us in the faith because our faith can rot and decay, and we lose it and not even know it. Much like you can have food in your refrigerator that sits there and it rots and decays and you don't even know about it. And you, it's horrible. Why is that in the refrigerator? That can happen to our faith. And he also not only preserves our bodies, he will resurrect our body in heaven. So he's such a powerful salt, the extra reverses decay and reverses death and gives the resurrection in heaven. And this is why Jesus asked the question we're supposed to ponder. At the end, he says, if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? He's talking about himself, first of all, that he will lose his saltiness. He will become corrupt. He will decay. Not much, but a little. He will die. He will lose his saltiness. How's he going to be made salty again? The miracle of Easter. He will rise again and be salty again. And it's the same way for us. Our bodies will decay and become corrupt, and we'll be in the tomb, and we'll go back to dust. It's going to happen. How can we then, our bodies then, be salty again and pure and holy and preserved in the resurrection? That's what he's alluding to. A miracle is going to happen. And that which is unsalty will become salty. The dead will rise, and you'll be pure and holy. All that in these few little words. He preserves. Salt preserves. And also, we would say salt flavors. The other way it has great impact, it gives flavor. Can you imagine a steak without a little salt, William? We got to have a little salt. I know too much salt physically is not good, but you got to have a little bit. Can you imagine green beans with no salt? How about popcorn with no salt? I don't think so. How about corn on the cob with no salt? Salt adds flavor. And so Christ is the salt that adds flavor to our lives. He preserves us in the faith, preserves the covenant, will raise our bodies into glory. He adds flavor now to our lives. And in the Old Testament, when they would make a sacrifice, they would often throw salt in with it. Now, why would they add salt? The salt was flavor for God, if you were. God accepted the sacrifice, and the salt was, I give this with pure intentions. I give this with joy. That's the flavor you like, God. You like a cheerful giver. I give it not because I have to, not out of guilt and regret and burden and complaining like the people complain, but I give this with joy in my heart, I give the sacrifice with thanksgiving in my heart, with cheer in my heart, with love in my heart, with a pure holy heart. That's the salt, was flavor to God. Accepted God and God would in his grace, of course, because of the coming sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And so Christ adds flavor to us. Who likes chocolate? My birthday is, by the way, on Thursday. Hint, hint. But Christ doesn't give us chocolate. He gives us cheerfulness. He is the cheerful Savior who willingly dies. He doesn't do it because he has to. He has great joy to die because he knows he'll rise and save the world. And he adds cheer to our lives, even though we're sad and depressed in many ways. We have an inner joy and cheer. You like caramel. Caramel's good. Better is compassion. That's another flavor, the flavor of compassion. He's compassionate towards us. He leads us to be compassionate. How we need compassion to flavor the world. The world needs compassion. Do you like grape? Grapes. It's a good flavor, grape. He gives grace upon grace upon grace. Now there's a flavor to enliven our lives, right? Who likes lemon? Well, maybe. At least lemonade. He gives the flavor of love. This is the great flavor that fills our lives. Love upon love upon love. Abounding love that flows from its cross to us. Yes. Salt has great impact, influence. And so Christ is saying, I will have great impact, influence. And also then, salt is seemingly insignificant. Salt is very little. It's almost invisible. It's powerful, but you don't see it working, hardly do you. How many of you pour salt on your steak and say, wow, look at that salt. Isn't that salt downright incredible? Isn't that salt beautiful? You don't pay attention to the salt. It's almost invisible, but it works. And so that's Jesus too. You will hardly see him. He'll look insignificant. He'll look little, humble. But oh, how he is working, you of little faith. So salt's a symbol of the humility of Jesus. Talk about someone who is humble. If there's one word to describe Jesus, it's humble. Born lying in a manger with swaddling clothes. Oh, a little kernel of salt, so insignificant. Yet what an impact. He's raised in the town of Nazareth, so humble, a little kernel of salt. He hangs around insignificant friends like fishermen and tax collectors. He really has no home wherever he travels. And then the ultimate humility is 6 hours on a cross. Talk about humility. Being crucified. A criminal. Murdered. Who really cared? People yelling, crucify him. Crucify. It looks so insignificant. Looks like nothing. And yet there is the salt having the influence of salvation. Saving the whole world. Forgiving our sins and giving us resurrection. He's alluding also to the cross where he will look like he's nothing. But be everything. I read an article of the most trusted brands we have in America. What brands of items do we trust? Well, not to our surprise, the automobile most trusted brand, Toyota. Steve, is that okay? Steve around? He would probably say Honda, Toyota. Robert would say Ford. Ford was down the list, Robert, sorry. What else do we trust? Toothpaste was Crest. We all like Crest, I guess. Airlines, Southwest Airlines is the most trusted. Football teams, well, we won't go there today, sorry. We don't trust our team a whole lot. That really wasn't in the survey. Salt. What's the most trusted salt brand? It's not Morton's. The most trusted brand of salt is named Jesus Christ. Trust his birth for you. Trust his life for you. Trust his death for you. Trust his resurrection for you. Trust the waters of baptism where he comes as a little insignificant salt in the water of baptism to deliver you. Trust that. Trust the bread and wine, which isn't bread and wine. Christ gives us his body and blood with the bread and wine. The little bit of salt, invisible, hidden, is right here. Christ himself, his body, his blood. Trust it for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of eternal life. He continues to work in very salt-like, humble ways. Water, word, bread and wine, all seemingly so insignificant. But the impact and the influence of salvation. Christ is the brand of brands. 100% confidence in Jesus who delivers us and saves us. Salt is good. Have salt in yourselves. So right now you've opened your ears and Christ is pouring in himself in your ears. and soon come and open your mouths and get a nice big mouthful of good salt, Jesus' body and blood, for forgiveness of sins, to be preserved in your faith, to rise again from the dead with a new body, and to add some flavor, the flavor of love and forgiveness and compassion and mercy in your life. Praise be to Jesus, the salt. Amen. Let's rise. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.